De la revolución del mundo.
Justice by any means
necessary.
This program is brought to you by Haymarket Books as part of the Socialism 2023 program. You can hear more recordings from the conference by subscribing to the Socialism Conference podcast feed. Many video recordings are also available at socialismconference.org. If you enjoy these recordings, you should join us for Socialism 2024, which will be held in Chicago next Labor Day weekend, August 30th through September 2nd. It's never too early to make a plan with your organization and your friends to come to the Socialism Conference.
So, without further ado, I would like to introduce our guests. We have two members, Cheryl and Eric, from Casey Tenants. Casey Tenants is a tenant organization that was founded in 2019. It radically changed the tenant organizing landscape in Kansas City. It rapidly built an organization that has been incredibly successful by using direct action to fight back against landlords, but also it's managed to build power and fight back against City Hall, winning a really impressive tenants' bill of rights in Kansas City that had not yet existed. We also have City Life Vita Urbana here at the very end. It's a Boston-based radical anti-capitalist organization that was founded in 1973. It was founded in the Jamaica Plain neighborhood and was born out of the feminist and anti-war struggles of that time. 50 years later, the struggle continues, and they're a leading voice in the anti-displacement and anti-eviction work in the face of ongoing and rapid gentrification that's happening in Boston. The LA Tenants Union was founded in 2015 to combat gentrification and its consequences. In the time since its founding, LA Tenants Union LATU has been known for its commitment to a bottom-up organizing model that emphasizes highly localized struggles and the autonomous organization of locals. And it's become known for its sort of prefigurative strategic vision, and both in how it organizes and the sorts of demands that it's making in the world. So without further ado, we're going to move on to our first phase here. And Casey Tenants, would you guys like to introduce yourselves and tell us about what your organization is and kind of your outlook?
Hi, everyone. Thank you. My name is Eric. He's he, him pronouns. I got involved in Casey Tenants only a year ago. I've only lived in Kansas City for 2 years. My partner's from there. I was in New York City for 13 years. And the first thing I thought when I got to a Casey Tenants event was, I've never been to something so organized in my entire life, ever. Not throwing a party, nothing. Not working someplace, not an orientation, nothing. So for me, that was the first thing that caught my attention. And I'm going to let Cheryl introduce herself.
Hello. Hi, my name is Cheryl, and I became involved with KC Tenants about 3 years ago. I moved into an apartment complex where, overlook my language, it had gone from sugar to shit. And the tenants didn't know what to do, where to turn, and I kept saying, where's your organization? Where's your union? Where's your union? Finally, we did call a big meeting, and I hadn't been there that long, and all of a sudden, I'm the president. So to make sure I knew what I was doing, I did a lot of research, and I knew I was everything was way over my head. Then I called 211, which is the United Way. Then they turned me on to KC Tenants. Then I got a chance to meet Mac. I was well informed. They told me the different things that they were doing, that they had won the Tenants Bill of Rights for Kansas City. There was also an apartment building that was really almost falling apart. KC Tenants was behind the push that made them renovate the whole apartment. So what we're doing now is we are very forceful, not disrespectful, but we're forceful into letting them know we're here to stay and you're not going to continue to bite the hand that's feeding you. And a lot of the landlords, they don't look at it that way. And I told this one landlord, if it weren't for us, you wouldn't be driving the Mercedes. If it weren't for us, your kids wouldn't be attending the most expensive private school in Kansas City. So we are a mighty group. We fight for everything. And we also let the tenants know, we got your back. And our motto is, you mess with the bull,
you get the horns.
Oh, we're three of us on this side, so we're going to try to get the mic off. I'm sorry, folks. Hi, everyone. My name is Renee Moya. I'm a member of the Los Angeles Tenants Union, where I've been a member now since 2016. I'm part of the Northeast LA local, the same area of Los Angeles where I grew up, where I was born, where I was raised, and where I moved back to about 10 years ago. And when I moved back to it, it was a completely transformed neighborhood. I had moved from a working class Latino neighborhood to one that had been massively gentrified in the time that I had gone to college and lived abroad and whatever. I was actually turned into a member of the Tenants Union by my partner, actually, who basically was like, look, this is a great organization that whose politics I think you might be interested in, and you should join. And he was right. The Tenants Union is a diverse tenant-led movement fighting for the human right to housing, or what we often call the human right to housing. I would like to call it better, like just us being able to have a material share in our housing, right? We fight against harassment, we fight against eviction, we fight against displacement. We're radical and autonomous, right? We are autonomous from the nonprofit sector, we are autonomous from the state. That means that we are able to dictate for ourselves what our policies are gonna be. We're gonna dictate for ourselves our engagement with policy fights if they ever come up, and we can talk a little bit about that. We're dues funded, we're volunteer driven. The amount of work that happens in the union always shocks me, because every time you go to Los Angeles and you want to just go to a LATU meeting or a LATU direct action, chances are there are going to be multiple of them happening that given week. There's court support happening almost on a daily basis. It's just all this energy coming from, again, the membership base itself that, again, mostly consists of tenants themselves struggling with each other, teaching each other how to fight back against landlords. We are locals driven. What that means is that we have 13 different locals chapters in our local communities. Those chapters are then also then kind of broken up into various types of organization at the local level. That can look like, for example, more micro regional solidarity meetings. That can look like tenants associations. It can look like neighborhood associations or block level associations. And then there are other types of units in the tenants union that are not necessarily just place-based, like the K3 Tenant Council, that is a portfolio level type of organization, right? So we really do have like a varying type of structure that I think is very important to name right now. I think the final thing I just say, just by way of introduction, is, I think it's important for socialists to engage in the fight for tenants' rights, but I think it's important specifically because socialists have a lot to learn from organizing tenants and not the other way around, right? A lot of us come to our politics and come to organizing with these very preconceived notions about what the working class is meant to do, how it's meant to come to, consciousness. And you will quickly find that a lot of those preconceived notions, you're going to be disabused of them very quickly, in good ways and in bad ways, right? But mostly in good ways. You're going to learn how to actually organize. You can only be a proper socialist in my book if you're organizing to begin with. And tenant organizing is something all of us in this room can do. And I just wanted to name that before I pass it on.
All right, thank you. Yeah.
Hola a todos, mi nombre es Francis Amador y soy una de las organizadoras principales de City Life Vida Urbana, pero antes de ser una organizadora con City Life Vida Urbana, sigo siendo una inquilina líder organizando el edificio donde en el 2018 estábamos siendo desalojados. Y desde el 2018 nos organizamos y peleamos nuestro desalojo. En el 2020 empecé a trabajar como organizadora en City Life y desde entonces, verdad, soy una organizadora, pero conozco a City Life desde el 2018 y todavía desde el 2018 hasta el día de hoy seguimos luchando y peleando el desalojo, verdad, en nuestro edificio. Así que gracias por estar aquí. Se lo voy a pasar a mi compañera.
Buenas tardes. Es un orgullo para mí estar nuevamente aquí por segundo año consecutivo. Muy inspirador todo los paneles que hemos estado presenciando. Mi nombre es Zafiro Patiño, soy originaria de Argentina. He vivido la tercera parte de mi vida en México. Llegué a comunicarme, a encontrarme con City Life Vida Urbana en Boston en el año 83. Me mudé a Boston y a través de los desalojos que conocí a Vida Urbana. Por ejemplo, en el año 94 nuestra ciudad perdió rent control, la ley de rent control, y por eso también fui desalojada por primera vez de mi apartamento. Y luego en el 1999 también nuestro edificio, que era un complejo en ese momento industrial de la parte de Jamaica Plain, un complejo artístico, también estábamos enfrentando desalojo. Desde entonces nos organizamos, logramos que los artistas compraran las unidades con la ayuda de City Life Vida Urbana. Yo comencé a hacer voluntariado y hace un año estoy ahora siendo organizadora de la zona de Jamaica Plain y Roxbury. Una de las cosas que más, me acerca a la organización es la misión que tiene Vida Urbana, y la quiero leer porque me siento muy orgullosa de esta misión. Y dice así: Vida Urbana es una organización comunitaria de base comprometida en la lucha por la justicia racial, económica y social, y por la igualdad de género a través de la construcción del poder de la clase trabajadora. Promovemos el poder personal, desarrollamos líderes comunitarios y construimos el poder colectivo para lograr un cambio sistémico y transformar a la sociedad. Gracias.
You know, thank you so much for those fantastic introductions. I think they give us a real feel for, one, the significance of this work that we're all doing as tenant organizers here, but also like the various paths that we come to this work and the various paths through which we can become radicalized. And I think that's an important thing to note. So our questions here that we're going to be discussing at the first half will kind of be at various layers. Our first question is going to deal with, you know, how these organizations approach creating a space where tenants feel comfortable sharing their experiences. And not only sharing their experiences, but developing an analysis collectively about what their problems are, what the root of those problems are, and how they as a group, as a collective of people, overcome those problems and solve them. And then we're going to move on to how do we build up and retain political leadership that we've developed through these struggles as organizations. And then finally, we're going to conclude with this section, some conversation about how do we as organizations manage and respond to conflict that emerges in our organizations, especially conflict that might arise out of oppressive ideas and attitudes that we all bring to these spaces, whether it's sexism, racism, classism, or, you know, viewpoints on the basis for houselessness in our society. So first, I'd like to direct this question for Casey Tenants to start with. How do you all approach creating a space where tenants feel comfortable sharing their ideas, sharing their problems and their struggles, and developing an analysis of where the sources of those problems and how they can solve it?
So there's two organizations that are very related in Kansas City. There's KC Tenants, which has been around, you know, for 4 years. And 2 years ago, or a year ago only, actually, a year and a half, a group called KC Tenants Power started. And my first meeting that I went to, one thing that I noticed right away was there was a relational question that opened it up. And it was even a political meeting. And it's somebody from the community sharing something, a leader. We all call ourselves, I remember, we all call ourselves leaders. So I'm Eric, and I'm a leader with KC Tenants. So we all, a leader spoke, shared something, and then asked the people at the meeting to share something also. We do that same kind of relational question in the neighborhood tenant unions, and we even do it when we have a meeting with a city council member. We start off in that meeting, and there's a time structure, and we have a relational question, and we ask that person that we're speaking to, that person that we want to develop a relationship that will help tenants build power, to also be vulnerable. And having that space and getting yourself kind of somatically into the place of us all having something in common is a place that we always try to start from. And Cheryl will explain what actually happens in the buildings in a way of how everybody is made comfortable to be heard.
Thanks, Eric. Our meetings start at 6, from 6 to 7:30. We have an agenda. We stick to the agenda. Before each meeting, we'll have a social hour. If we see some new people coming in, we'll go and introduce ourselves. We will share our own personal story with them. And most of the time, these personal stories, they themselves has gone through. That kind of breaks the ice a little. And we joke, but we are serious about our meetings. Like I said, we have an agenda. We stick to the agenda. One of the things that after we do our question, then we tell what we're going to focus on. We also state what we want the outcome to be. But the main thing is we have a community agreement, and we read this agreement at every meeting. One of my favorite bullet points is what we say in this meeting stays in the meeting. We had, when the new owners bought our building, we had a meeting, and while we were in there, and I was looking, there was a young lady was back in the corner and asked one of the leaders, "What is she doing here?" She said, "She who?" I said, "Shanae." She said, "Well, is she?" I said, "She is the new building manager." So we put her on the spot. "Why are you here?" "Oh, well, I was here at the building, and today's my day off." "Well, if it's your day off, why are you in the building?" "Oh, well, I was just going to come and see what you guys were talking about. Well, why is it any of your business? We didn't invite you." We are cut and dry. We don't beat around the bush. We don't play games. And one of the leaders, one of our organizers, told her, number one, this is a closed meeting. When we're ready to meet with you, we'll let you know. But in the meantime, you have to go. She didn't like that, but like, who cares? And then she saw me in the hallway one day, and she said, "Miss Looney, I need to talk to you." I said, "Okay." I said, "Let's make it at 1 o'clock. She said, "Okay." So she was in her meeting. She was in her office at 1. I come down with four other KC Tenant leaders. And she said, "Well, this is a private conversation. I said, maybe private to you, but it's not to me. And she asked, well, why do you have all these people with you? I said, because you do two things. You're either going to lie or you're going to have selective amnesia. So either way it goes, I want to make sure someone is here that can back up everything that I have to say. Then she tells me, well, you guys can't organize. I asked her, what planet are you from? So what I did, I had a copy of the KC Tenants Bill of Rights and the Hood Tenants Bill of Rights. I highlighted where we can organize. And I told her, I said, not only can we organize, I said, guess what? You're going to have to provide a place for us to meet. Well, we talked to Kansas City, and they said, no, you didn't talk to Kansas City. I said, Kansas City downtown has nothing to do with what we're doing right now. Either you're going to get on board with us, or you need to go out the door by yourself. She became very upset with me, and, Miss Looney, I just cannot talk to you. I said, not when you're full of bull. I said, now, you can come to me right, or come to us right. Come to us willing to listen. Come to us willing to take what we have to say into consideration. Or we can do one or two things. We can protest or we can call in the media. They didn't like that at all. Last month, our elevator was down. I live in a six-story senior citizen building. They're going to tell us, oh, it's going to take about 4 weeks. I said, no, it's not. Oh, yeah, it's going to take 4 weeks. No, it's not. It's going to take 4 weeks. No, it's not. I called Healthy Homes. I called the Kansas City Building Code Office. They told them, you have 48 hours to get it fixed or you'll be charged $150 a day. I did that on a Wednesday. Guess what? Thursday, the elevator was fixed.
Thanks for sharing those awesome stories and that really insightful stuff. I kind of wanted to ask a follow-up question to KC Tenants before we pass it on to other people. You know, one of the things that I got from that was that, you know, part of your community agreement built into that is, you know, this idea that we're here to protect one another and we're here to set boundaries. You know, we're not taking this outside because this is our business. It's not the manager's business. You know, I think another thing that came up in our conversations was, you know, you all are really insistent on having a clear agenda and things like that in your meetings. Why is it that you guys emphasize that so much in your spaces?
Oh.
You're trying to shut us down now. I think we can keep going for now, if that's all right with everyone else.
All right, there we go.
Yeah, some power's back on. Okay, cool.
We're back. People's, you know, time is valuable. And we know that all of us have been to a lot of political meetings that have gone a lot longer than we thought they were going to be when we walked in the door. All of our meetings have a time set. And if we're going to do a two-hour meeting, we let everybody know ahead of time. We stick to the agenda because we want everybody to be able, who's affected, because the people closest to the problems are closest to the solutions. We try to provide childcare as much as we can. You know, we want people to know that if we say that we're meeting at 6 o'clock on every Wednesday, that you know that you can leave there at 7:30. Yeah. The babysitter, you don't have to pay anybody else. Your ride will be there. Your ride's not going to have to wait. We are so considerate. And that helps us get so much stuff done. That is really the number one thing. And I think what has been so powerful to me and so many other people I've talked to is it feels good when 90 minutes goes by and you've seen so much get done. You've seen so many decisions be made. You've seen so many people say yes to being able to commit to an action or to commit to being on a team because they know that things aren't going to drag out. And we always go through what the goal is at the end of the plan. And that's another point, too. People's feedback is also important, and I think that builds trust. At the end of any meeting about whatever it is, we go through things that were positive that happened, that we liked about it, that we thought was good. But we also go through the negative things that we can control, that we could have changed. And those have been so important. And I would say the majority of the tensions that come through are because of time, because the agenda, because we are so strict about finishing in that time, that if we go too long about something else is going to get neglected. And that just helps us that the next week that we come by, we're much more on top of it. So it's all about getting shit done, basically.
And also, during our agenda, it has who the speaker's going to be, how many minutes the speaker has. And if you're all familiar with Harry Potter, when Hagrid tells Harry, stick to your ticket, we stick to our agenda. Because we don't want to keep going on and on and on and on. People get bored. But once they find out we stick to the agenda, once they find out that we start at 6 and end at 7:30, they know that's what's going to happen. And that also helps us increase our membership.
Thank you. Yeah. So in light of that, I'd like to open it up to our comrades from City Life Vita Urbana or LATU to say, you know, how do you guys build these spaces?
Sí, nosotros como City Life Vida Urbana también creamos espacios con nuestros inquilinos, miembros, líderes, teniendo las reuniones semanales que tenemos los miércoles también a las 6:30, donde damos una charla política, lo que hemos hecho durante la semana, lo que vamos a hacer, lo que está pasando, ¿verdad?, en nuestra comunidad, que el apoyo necesario que necesitamos para seguir peleando con otros inquilinos. Entonces, así mantenemos nuestras reuniones. Los miércoles damos la oportunidad a nuevos inquilinos y también a miembros si necesitan ver una asesoría legal de un abogado o un estudiante de abogacía para, ¿verdad?, poder tener el tiempo de eso. Si no hay suficientes abogados o estudiantes, también pasamos unos cuartitos privados con organizadores donde damos ideas y pues consejos de los siguientes pasos que debemos hacer. Damos también los 100 cadres, que nuestra compañera Safira nos va a hablar un poco más adelante. Tenemos cursos de defensores y desplazamientos. Nos reunimos, tratamos de reunirnos siempre con las asociaciones de inquilinos, mantenemos comunicación con nuestros miembros y nuevos inquilinos, ¿verdad? Usamos la estrategia de la espada y el escudo. Sabemos que en la primera vez tal vez la gente llega con miedo, porque la mayoría de personas que nosotros atendemos son familias inmigrantes, que no hablan ni el idioma, de verdad, que tienen miedo a luchar por sus viviendas porque creen que eso está relacionado con inmigración y tienen miedo al escuchar corte, tienen miedo, ¿verdad?, de una lucha. Así es como nosotros mantenemos la comunicación, damos soporte moral, ¿verdad?, y damos la solidaridad. También nos comprometemos como organizadores, ¿verdad?, de ayudarlos hasta el final, de seguir en la lucha, de que no siempre vamos a ganar, pero de solo de luchar ya es un gane. Así que así es como nos mantenemos nosotros. Y voy a pasar a mi compañera Safira.
Gracias. En términos de la plataforma de seguridad que nosotros en nuestras reuniones desarrollamos. Tenemos dos reuniones semanales, una es los martes y la otra es los miércoles. Los martes la reunión se desarrolla en inglés y los miércoles se desarrolla en español enteramente. Son 2 horas de reunión donde las reuniones tienen un formato determinado donde como describió nuestra compañera Frances, tiene definitivamente una agenda. Pero me gustaría hablar un poquito de esta plataforma de seguridad que damos. A través de los testimonios, las personas tienen la seguridad, especialmente las personas que llegan primeramente, y no conocen, vienen devastadas. El desplazamiento causa un desajuste tremendo en la persona. Llegan con una inseguridad, con una falta de confianza en sí mismos, llegan con la idea que son culpables del desalojo, llegan con una angustia, con una falta de aprobación social. Esto hace que la persona entre con muy pocas defensas. La forma que eso se va desarrollando, la forma que esa persona va creciendo y va tomando seguridad en sí misma, parte es a través de los testimonios, escuchando a otros que están pasando por el mismo problema y que lo están atravesando con el valor que le da la solidaridad y el grupo en sí. Ya no está solo, ya no estamos solos cuando llegamos a una reunión donde todos somos afectados, donde la sociedad, donde creemos, llegamos con la idea, esto me pasa solo a mí. Esa idea es terrible y es de sentirse completamente solo. Cuando la reunión termina, la persona siente de que ahora es parte de un movimiento. Eso le da a la persona una seguridad y comienza a desarrollarse internamente. Nosotros, estos testimonios son muy poderosos. Vemos cómo las personas llegan. Muchas veces las personas no quieren hablar, no quieren expresar su drama por miedo, por vergüenza. Y lentamente, a través de escuchar a otros, comienzan a tomar valor. Ese valor les da la fuerza necesaria para comenzar a sentirse que son parte de algo y que además tienen el poder de confrontarlo y de ganar. Tal vez no vamos a ganar el caso personal, pero se trata de la construcción de un movimiento, y en la construcción de este movimiento hay muchas etapas donde pasamos. Pasamos por la desilusión, por el desgaste, pero también enfatizamos mucho en nuestras reuniones la solidaridad, que es como la columna vertebral de nuestro movimiento. Enfatizamos mucho también la educación, cómo vamos a defendernos. Sin conocer nuestros derechos no llegamos a ningún lado. Necesitamos conocer nuestros derechos para poder defenderlos. Esto ya nos está dando una seguridad. Ah, tengo derechos. Entré a la reunión pensando que no tenía ningún derecho y ahora entiendo que sí los tengo y que puedo luchar. Y no solo eso, con nuestro modelo, con nuestra estrategia fundamental que se llama la espada, el escudo y la oferta, que es una construcción de tres elementos que son fundamentales para poder realmente confrontar la lucha, que es la espada, es nuestra organización, la espada es nuestra, cómo nos organizamos, es a través de una carta pública, de llevar nuestro caso individual a una plataforma política con nuestros representantes de la ciudad. Es también hacer una vigilia enfrente de la casa, de nuestra casa que nos están desalojando, llamar la atención, formar una asociación de inquilinos, movilizar a otros en el barrio, a nuestros amigos, a nuestros vecinos. Y también el escudo es la parte legal. Necesitamos la parte legal, necesitamos de los abogados comunitarios que nos apoyan en la lucha para poder ir a la corte y tener esa defensa legal. Es una coalición que nos lleva a la otra parte, a la tercera parte de esta ecuación, que es la oferta. Lograr la mejor oferta, el mejor agreement que podemos tener con nuestro, el propietario de nuestro, si son 5 años, con un cap de 3% o de 2%, y ahí empieza también otra etapa que es el desarrollo de liderazgo. Pero quiero pasarlo. Gracias.
Thank you. And then I guess, Renee, if you have anything brief to say, just because I want to remind our panelists, because you have so much knowledge to share, but we also have so limited time. So I want to get to the rest of it. But thank you so much for those excellent responses.
That's dangerous for me because I talk a lot. A couple of things I do want to say, kind of part of as a joke, part of not. In LA, nothing starts early. So our meetings, people will be streaming into meetings 30 minutes late. It's just the way it is in Los Angeles. You're 15 minutes late, you're early. None of our meetings are the same. I really want to emphasize that because we are structured in our locals. The locals are autonomous. They determine for themselves what the rules of what their meetings are like. And so any two meetings of the union, they have a lot of similitude, but they're not the exact same thing. There are different dynamics at play. Los Angeles is an enormous place with a lot of varying cultural identities. And as a result of that, that really does emerge in the meeting spaces themselves. And I think it's important to say that because that is, I think, a marker of success. It means that we have melted ourselves into the community, become part of the community, rooted ourselves in the community. Just a couple of things on meetings, though, that I do want to just mention about how we do things. And I know that we all really believe in this. Language justice is essential. It doesn't look the same in every space. In some spaces, the meetings are conducted primarily in Spanish only because we know that all of the folks in the room speak Spanish. And if you are bilingual, you speak Spanish in the space as well. If you don't know Spanish, then yes, you will get language interpretation, but we encourage you to learn it if you're going to be in this community, and especially if you consider yourself a leftist, a socialist who is attempting to change things. For us, building community is the root of the meeting, right? We mean creating spaces that are inviting. There oftentimes will be food, but it won't be necessarily catered, although for bigger events it will be. It means people make the food. It means you are invited to bring food. In a lot of our meetings in the Northeast LA local, the food is oftentimes prepared and served before the meeting. So that you have dinner, you're invited to dinner so you can meet your comrades before you launch into the meeting. Facilitation rotates. We ask folks to identify themselves at the very beginning of the meeting if they want to speak. So the agenda in our solidarity meetings specifically that are about tenants speaking to or about their crises, the meetings are almost exclusively about those crises. And folks are asked at the very beginning to let us know if that's what they want to share at that time or if they have updates, and we go from there. And I guess the final couple of things I do want to say, I totally agree with what you folks are saying about repetition and mantras even, right? Like it's so important in our spaces, for example, for when tenants are introducing themselves. In my local, we will say things like, hi, I'm Renee. I'm here to fight, or I'm here to help. I'm here to listen, right? We're constantly identifying what we're meant to do in the space itself. We always say to tenants at the end of their struggle, or what they think is the end of their struggle, you will always get a base member of the union saying, but are you actually at the end of the struggle? And it'll be a señora in Spanish who will say this. And sometimes the tenant will be like, well, I beat the landlord at court. And then the tenant, someone else will pipe up and be like, actually, as long as there are landlords and as long as you're a tenant, your fight is never over, right? And so these kind of repetition, this kind of like cultural sort of creation is super important to the union. I know that you want to move on, so I'm trying to like quickly hit as many spaces of things as possible.
That's a perfect segue into the next question.
Okay, can I just say one more thing actually before we do that? I just do want to emphasize also that the meetings themselves, what we mean by collective is that the learning itself is collective, right? The community serves as the space for casework, right? It can't just be done one-on-one. We tried that kind of stuff in the past in the union. It was impossible. Really, what it is about having tenants share with each other what they're going through, the specificity of their cases, and other tenants, chances are, have probably gone through the same thing. And so they learn from each other. They will learn not necessarily from, you know, the smartest boy in the room. They're not going to learn from the other tenants who have been there and have a lot of experience just because they're interested in the law or they're middle class or whatever. What they want to hear is other people who have done the exact same thing that they've done, and they want them to be reassured in that way. And on so I think that is one of the most effective things, I think, that we've been able to do in the last couple of years, that element of communal casework. And finally, I think that where I want to end here is just the community space is also a space of strategy, right? And I think this is super important, and I think also a critical distinction to make with how, frankly, a lot of the left have tried to engage with the idea of strategy in the past, right? For us, strategy is developed with the base. In the base, among the base. It is the tenants themselves who will, you know, come up with the tactics and the strategies right then and there. That is the fundamental sort of basis for the kind of things that we undertake, the kind of campaigns that we execute, how we execute those campaigns. And I think I just want to like end there on that.
Thanks for listening. If you like this episode, subscribe to our podcast and to the Haymarket Books YouTube channel, where events like this one are hosted live. And don't forget to check out haymarketbooks.org.